strong. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hands are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the flock under his care. Let's sing together in praise of God, hymn number 159, Holy, Holy. We're going to read together from the book of Isaiah, chapter 6, the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, Holy, 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 the Lord Almighty, the whole earth is full of his glory. At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. Woe to me, I cried. I'm ruined, for I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. My eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, See, this has touched your lips, your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for. Then I heard the voice of the Lord say, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And I said, Here am I, send me. He said, Go and tell this people, be ever hearing but never understanding, be ever seeing, but never perceiving. Make the heart of this people calloused. Make their ears dull and close their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn and be healed. Then I said, For how long, Lord? And he answered, Until the cities lie ruined and without inhabitants, until the houses are left deserted, and the fields ruined and ravaged, until the Lord has sent everyone far away, and the land is utterly forsaken. Though a tenth remain in the land, it will again be laid waste. But as the terebinth and oak leave stumps when they're cut down, so the holy seed will be the stump in the land. Well, may God help us understand that passage from his word. Let's pray together. That passage we read together from Isaiah 6. Isaiah 6. Last year was the 20th anniversary of a death which shook our nation. In the early hours of Sunday, 31st of August, 1997, Princess Diana died following a car crash in Paris. The whole nation went into mourning. Some people were so shocked and alarmed by that they went to church that Sunday and during the following week. Now, a man named Isaiah had a similar shock like that one day in the year 740 BC. Indeed, the whole nation of the whole land of Judah had a shock. News came through that King Uzziah had died of leprosy. He'd been ruler over Judah for 52 long years, and whilst his reign was not all that could have been desired, whilst his behavior had at times been wrong, nevertheless, his death was a great blow to the nation. It shook the people. It shook Isaiah. What would the future bring? What would become of the nation? Would it survive this crisis of the king dying of leprosy? Would the monarchy survive? Feeling very upset and distressed, Isaiah went to the temple in Jerusalem. He had been many times before. He was a religious man. And in times of crisis, people who have a kind of religious background do go to church. And that's not a bad thing. So Isaiah went to church, as it were, when he heard about the death of King Uzziah. He'd been many times before. But that day, something happened which shook him. Something which he never, ever forgot for the rest of his life. He met with God. Or better still, God met with him, and the whole course of his life was changed. He was never the same again. I believe it was the first time he met with God, the day of his conversion. Although he may have been religious before, this was the day when his life was changed forever. Well, here we are in church this morning. It's not such an ornate building as the temple in Jerusalem, but we're here, and it's good to be here. I don't know what has brought you here this morning. It may be it's your custom to come to church on Sunday mornings, and that's a good custom to have. It may be that, like Isaiah, you've had a bit of a shock this past week, so thought it would be good to come and worship God at church. I guess we've come here this morning for a variety of reasons. But my longing is that you and I may meet with God as Isaiah met with God all those years ago. To have an encounter with God. That's the greatest thing that could ever happen to us on a day like this, or any other day for that matter. What exactly happened that day? What was involved in this encounter with God? It's all very well to talk about meeting with God, but what actually happened that day in Isaiah's life? Let me tell you. He saw something. He said something. He felt something. He heard something. Four simple things. He saw something. He said something. He felt something. He heard something. First of all, he saw something. He saw the truth about God. He says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. That day he saw the truth about God as he'd never seen it before. And in these days, if there's one thing that men and women need to see, it's the truth about Almighty God. Why do they live as they do live? Why do they live for themselves? Why do they go days on end without ever even thinking about God? It's because they've never seen the greatness and glory of God. Why do many professing Christians push God aside when it suits them and go for days without thinking about him? It's because they've never really seen the greatness and glory of God. On that momentous day, Isaiah saw the truth about God as he'd never seen it before. What did Isaiah learn that day about God? First of all, he saw that God is the sovereign ruler of the whole universe. He tells us that day he saw the Lord. And that word there means the all-powerful ruler of the whole universe. The all-powerful ruler and judge. I saw the Lord, the all-powerful ruler and judge, sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. He saw and realized that God is almighty. the sovereign ruler of the whole universe, the one who rules over all things. Calls him the Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts. That means he rules over all the nations of the earth. He rules over all the planets in the heavens. He rules over all the angels. The Lord of hosts. He rules over everything and everyone. Sometimes it seemed that things were out of hand. The king getting leprosy. Judah under threat from other nations. It seemed that things were out of control. But that is not the case. Everything is under the control of Almighty God. He is the Lord of hosts. My friends, have you seen that? That God is the sovereign ruler of the whole universe. He's even the sovereign ruler of your life. You may not recognize that, but he's the sovereign ruler of your life. He's got to say the word, and you and I stop breathing. Each breath that we breathe is under the control of Almighty God. But then on top of that, Isaiah saw something else about God. It dawned on him as never before that day that God is totally pure and holy. Isaiah had this vision of the seraphim, the chief angels, worshipping God as he sat on his throne. And as they worshipped God, as they adored God, they veiled their faces and their feet because God is so holy and so pure. In actual fact, they cried out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." He's not only the Almighty God, he's the Holy God who hates sin. He's absolutely pure and holy. I often think of the holiness of God as like the human eye. The human eye is very sensitive, isn't it? A speck of dust comes somewhere near your eye, touches your eye, and your eye immediately reacts and begins to water to repel the speck of dirt which has come into the eye. And the holiness of God is like that. It hates sin. Any speck of sin that comes near him, he repels it. He hates sin. He is the holy, holy God. Do you realize that, my friend? Maybe this God whom you ignore most of the time is a holy God. Not only almighty, but he hates your sin. And one day will judge your sin. We try to excuse our sins. We try to make out that they're not as serious as they are. We try to justify our sins and minimize them. When men and women of the world tell an untruth, they call it a white lie. But it's a real lie. We have our terms for minimizing the truth. When a man of the world deserts his wife and children, leaving them heartbroken, he calls it falling in love with another woman. God calls it adultery. God hates sin. He's the holy, perfect God. Those were the two truths that Isaiah saw that day as never before. That God is the sovereign Lord and the holy Lord who hates sin. In other words, to put it in a sentence, Isaiah saw that God is a glorious person who must be worshipped and adored with reverence and awe. That's what the cherubim, the chief angels, taught Isaiah that day. He saw them worshipping and adoring, bowing down before this holy, almighty God. That's the first thing that happened. on that day, Isaiah saw something. The truth about God as he'd never seen it before. Have we seen the truth about God? That he's so great and so holy that he desires and deserves our worship and our adoration. Let's move on. On that great day when he met with God and was converted, he said something. He said something. He not only saw something, he said something. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and his train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face. With two he covered his feet. With two he flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. As I saw all that, then I said, Isaiah said something. What did he say? What would you say, my friend, if you truly met with God? And God truly met with you. What a wonderful fellow I am. Look at me, God. You must be proud of me. You're certain to give me a place in heaven. I'm so good. Then said I, "Woe is me. I'm undone. I'm lost." Isaiah recognized that he was a poor sinner. A lot of people are like little Jack Horner. You know, English nursery rhyme? Little Jack Horner, sat in a corner, eating his Christmas pie, put in his thumb, pulled out a plum, and said, "What a good boy am I. What a good boy am I." And many people like that. "What a good fellow I am. How decent I am. How proud God must be of me." When you really meet with God, you realize that you're a sinner. That you've done wrong. The searchlight of God's holiness shone on Isaiah that day in the temple. The searchlight of God's purity beamed on him. And in the light of that, he saw how sinful he was. His words, "I'm a man of unclean lips." Those words that he'd said, those jealous words, those selfish words, those mean words he said about other people. Those swear words. Those lies he told. "I'm a man of unclean lips. I've sinned with my lips. Not to mention sinning in my thoughts. Sinning in my actions. Just to think of the words I've spoken at times. It's enough to fill me with shame," says Isaiah. "I'm a man of unclean lips." God's holiness has shown up what a sinner I am. Have you seen that, my friend? You come to church, that's great, wonderful. So glad to see you. But have you met with God? Have you seen your sinfulness? Those things you've said, those things you've done, those things you've thought, which God hates. But more than that, Isaiah said something else that day. "I'm undone. I'm lost. I can't put myself right. I'm in a terrible state," he says. "I'm undone. There's no way I can earn my own salvation. There's no way I can put myself right with God. There's no way I can earn a place in heaven by myself. I'm lost. I'm lost. I cannot save myself. I'm in a terrible, terrible position. You realize that, my friend? That as you are, you're a sinner. And you can never deal with your own sin, put it right. You're totally dependent upon Almighty God. He acknowledged that he was in danger. Woe is me. Woe is me. I deserve to be judged by God. If I stand before the judgment seat of God tomorrow, says Isaiah, I'll be lost because of my sin and my iniquity. Isaiah saw something that day. He said something that day. The third thing, let me tell you, he felt something. Verse 3, then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he'd taken with the tongs from off the altar, and he touched my mouth and said, behold, this has touched your lips, and your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for. Isaiah felt something that day. A burning coal, as it were, in his vision, touching his lips. Now, that obviously is symbolic language. He didn't literally feel his lips being burned with a live coal from off the altar. He didn't feel that literally. This was symbolic language. What he felt was this. He felt his sin. He felt his iniquity being cleansed away. When you truly meet with God in conversion, you see the truth about God that is mighty and holy. You see the truth about yourself that you're sinful and lost. But you experience also the forgiveness of all your sin. It is possible for you to have all your sin forgiven. How did it happen? Well, the live coal was taken with the tongs from off the altar. The altar in the temple was the place where sacrifices were made for sin. So Isaiah realized that his forgiveness was totally dependent upon the lamb that had been sacrificed on the altar in the temple. Had it not been for that lamb sacrificed on the altar, he could never be forgiven. And that's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those lambs sacrificed on the altar in the Old Testament were all a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ who would die upon the cross. John the Baptist one day saw Jesus coming in the distance and said to his two disciples, look, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. John the Baptist says, in effect, all those lambs in the Old Testament offered on the altar, they were just pictures, they were just symbols. They were lambs provided by men. But here is the Lamb of God, the one provided by God. And he will take away the sin of the world. So just as Isaiah felt that day his sin being forgiven, that being entirely due to the lamb sacrificed on the altar, so when we meet with God, and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, we feel our sin forgiven. And that is entirely due to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, being sacrificed. And so I felt something. My friend, have you felt that? The experience of having your sin forgiven by the Lord Jesus Christ. The experience of having your iniquity taken away. That's what Jesus did when he died upon the cross. He atoned for our sin. He atoned for our iniquity. He dealt with it. He bore the punishment in our place. That lamb in the altar in the Old Testament, in a sense, was bearing the punishment due to a man like Isaiah. That was a picture of what Jesus would do when he died upon the cross. He bore the punishment of our sin, that we might be forgiven. When you truly meet with God, you see how great and glorious God is. You say, what a sinner I am. How hopeless I am. I cannot save myself. But then you experience your sin being washed away, atoned for by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then, on that great day, Isaiah heard something. He heard the Lord speaking, saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Who will go and take this message to other men and women? Who will go and tell them about God? Who will go and tell them about their sins being forgiven? Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Said the Lord. When you become a Christian, when you meet with God, when you see how great God is, and when you see how sinful you are, and when you see how Jesus Christ by his death has dealt with all that, then you hear, as it were, a voice saying, who's going to tell others about this? You heard that? Who's going to tell the people of Hounslow West about the Lord Jesus Christ? Who's going to tell the people in the rest of this country about the Lord Jesus Christ? Who's going to tell the people in India, the people in China, the people in Myanmar about the Lord Jesus Christ? Who's going to do that? And as I said, Lord, I'll go. Here am I. Send me. I'll tell others about your holiness and your greatness. And that's our longing when we truly met with God, to tell others about him and his greatness. It won't be easy. God says to Isaiah, it'll be tough. They won't want to listen to what you're saying. They'll hate what you're saying. They'll hate you for saying it. It really will be tough sometimes. But I want someone to do it for me. Go and tell other people the truth about me and my son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's what happened that day when Isaiah met with God, the year that King Uzziah died. He went to the temple. Been many times before. But on that day, something happened they could never forget. He met with God. God met with him. He saw something. How great God is, how holy God is, how God hates sin. He said something. Lord, I'm a terrible sinner. And I'm lost. I can't save myself. He felt something. His sin being dealt with because of what had happened on the altar. Sin being atoned for and forgiven. Then he heard something. Who's going to go? Tell others. And he answered that call. Lord, here am I. Send me. I trust that all of us this day will have a true encounter with the living God. So that life will never be the same again. For God to allow us to meet with him. And for him to meet with us. And dealing with us. That's an enormous privilege. We should thank God for it. And we should never be the same again. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this passage in Isaiah 6. For that wonderful day when Isaiah met with you. And his life was changed forever. Father, we pray that if we've never had an encounter before with you, the living God, today may be that day when our lives are transformed forever. We ask this in our Savior's name. Amen. Let's sing. And now may the grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and the love of God, our Heavenly Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, our Comforter, be with us this day and forever. Amen.